Time to get started. So welcome everybody to the afternoon part, or the night part in Israel, really our fifth part of Judaism Encounters the World. And it's really a pleasure to welcome back, really first time on Zoom, but to welcome back speaking Dr. David Berger, really the foremost expert on Jewish-Christian relations. And as he alluded to, we had him speak in Toronto a number of years ago, live in Toronto on December 25th. Dr. Berger is the Ruth and I. Lewis Gordon Distinguished Professor of Jewish History at Bernard Revel Graduate School at Yeshiva University. He has a long history, of course, taught for many years at Brooklyn College, and has written a lot. It's really an expert in the field, and it's a Talmud Chacham to boot, and it's really a pleasure to have him here. It's an honor for us to have him here speaking this afternoon. Bakasha, Dr. Berger.
Okay, thank you very much. I just have to correct the part of the introduction. I'm not a Talmud Chacham if one has any sort of rigorous definition of that term. I call this classic halachic evaluations of Christianity and their modern consequences, which means that we're going to speak primarily about the classic definition, which means really the classic classification. Someone mentioned during the informal comments that were just online, that the question of whether Christianity is Avodah Zarah came up in an earlier talk. So you'll get my read on how this evolved and what the various views were. So let me begin by saying by providing one of the most explicit classic Jewish statements about this in just a few words by the Rambam. I'm going to share the screen, and this will take a second to read. Rambam, the laws of Avodah Zarah 9:4, and the Nosrim Christians of Dei Avodah Zarah Heim, they are worshippers of alien worship, translated literally. This is sometimes translated idolatry, often translated idolatry. In the case of Christianity, that's not a fair translation. If possible, I'll just say Avodah Zarah, having defined it at this, well, I'll try to define it more carefully, but translated it, alien worship at this point. V'yom Rishon hu Yom Eidon. And Sunday is their holiday, which means that it is halachically their holiday. This has to do with the first Mishnah in Avodah Zarah that says that you're not supposed to do business with the pagans or with the Gentiles on their holidays, and we'll get back to that presently. The Rambam doesn't say why it's Avodah Zarah. And for him, it's possible that the Trinitarian belief would be enough to turn it into Avodah Zarah. But the fact of the matter is that the Trinity alone is not so obviously sufficient to turn Christianity into Avodah Zarah, as some medieval Jews, the more sophisticated Jewish polemicists, actually said explicitly. There are different ways that Christians understand the Trinity, and if the Trinity means, as some Christians claimed in discussions with Jews and sometimes among themselves too, that the Trinity refers to divine attributes, God's power, wisdom, and will, or even in the super sophisticated philosophical version, God as Seichel, Maskil, and Muskal, intellect, object of intellect, and exerciser of intellect. This is not, remember, the Kabbalists speak of Sfirot, which are, for many of them, are an aspect of the Godhead. The Jews, for the most part, do not consider this Avodah Zarah, on the contrary. And so what Jews argued, Jews who addressed this issue argued, is that what makes Christianity Avodah Zarah, if you think it is, and they did in the Middle Ages. If you think Christianity is Avodah Zarah, what makes it that is primarily the belief in the incarnation. That is the belief that God took on human form, that Jesus was God or one of the three elements of God in the flesh, and that he can be worshipped and should be worshipped as such. That, Jews argued, was Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, I once struggled to find a good formula for this in a different context. And what I came up with, though pointing out that it doesn't fit what the Rambam calls the original version of Avodah Zarah, which I'll mention just in passing. But my definition was the worship or recognition as God of an entity that is in fact not God. When you worship something, if you worship an entity as God, who is not, and I added or formal recognition because there is a form of Avodah Zarah full-fledged, according to the halacha, of simply saying, you are my God, to a non-God. So that is Avodah Zarah, and Christians apparently, more than apparently, fall into this category. They regard Jesus of Nazareth as God when he is not. Jews also argued, Jewish polemicists argued, that the belief in the incarnation also tells us something about the belief in the Trinity that makes it fundamentally objectionable using these categories. Why? Because if indeed God, the Trinity means divine attributes, that God has power, wisdom, and will, or that he is Seichel, Muskal, and Maskil, and Muskal, then you couldn't maintain that Jesus of Nazareth was the incarnation of only one of the three. That would introduce a separation in God that is really not consistent, Jews argued, with genuine divine unity. So that the incarnation was fundamentally objectionable from the perspective of Avodah Zarah, and it also told us something about the Trinity that makes the Trinity objectionable in a way that the Kabbalistic Sfirot are not. Where do we see medieval Jews expressing their views about these questions, other than the Rambam? The Rambam, as I said, is the most explicit one, but these discussions generally revolve around Ashkenazic Jewish sources, because one of those sources in particular raises a fascinating and challenging question. But let me begin by saying that non-halachic sources make it clear that medieval Jews just instinctively, even without careful analysis, took it for granted that Christianity is Avodah Zarah. I'll give you three very, very brief examples that are not usually cited in these contexts. There is a polemical work by an Ashkenazic Jew of the 13th century called Sefer Yosef HaMekane, where he tells his Christian interlocutor, the Jews were punished severely for worshiping the golden calf, which is made out of the purest material. And you worship someone who spent time in a woman's womb or stomach, which is described in all sorts of palatable ways, It's a kal vachomer. It's an a fortiori argument. Surely you are going to go into the deepest hell. It's not a halachic text, but it says something about the visceral Jewish response to fundamental Christian belief. There was a line in one of the most famous Ashkenazic stories of the Middle Ages. Whether it's historical or not is really irrelevant. The story of Rabbi Amnon that's connected with Unetane Tokef. The story that's told in a famous and important, actually, halachic work called Oz HaRuah, says that when he was pressured by the highest authority in Mainz, where he lived, to convert to Christianity, and he wanted to get rid of him, and he said, I'll think about it for 3 days. The story goes on that the moment he did this, right after he did this, as soon as he left the presence of this Lord, Vayachli bolo, so his heart. Attacked him, as it were, hit him. Because he expressed doubt about such a matter. That he has to, just think about the matter, discuss the matter. And to deny the living God and eternal King. In other words, we have here just, a comment that takes for granted that if you become a Christian, you are denying the living God. Those were the instincts of medieval Jews, in this case, a medieval Ashkenazic Jew. And finally, I'll mention one other example from a non-halachic source, and that's Abar Benel. In his one of his books about the Messianic Age, he says that the Christians at the end of days are going to be destroyed. And he explains why, based on a verse that is going to be relevant to what I already said about how you define Avodah Zarah for halachic purposes. It's based on Psalm 50, verses 17 and on. And here are the relevant verses. As understood by Abar Benel, the Larosha Amar Elohim, God said to the evildoer, Malachalas Aper Chukai, what are you doing talking about my laws? But the Savari Sia Leficha, and you refer to my covenant. You talk about my covenant. Vatasa Nesa Musar, and you hate chastisement. Vatashlech Devarai Acharecha, and you throw my words behind you. Abar Benel says this refers to Christians who take the prophecies of the future coming of the Messiah and throw them behind, meaning they say they were fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah. So that's the first thing that's wrong with this evildoer, that he throws the prophecies of the future back. Teshev v'achicha tedaber, you will speak against your brother. V'venim chati tengdofi, you will make false accusations against the son of your mother. This, he says, refers to Christians persecuting Jews. So the first thing is they refer to the prophecies of the Messiah as having been fulfilled in the past. The second is that they persecute Jews. And then God says, if you had just done these things, I would have kept quiet. But the fact that you imagine that I will be like you, that is, you claim that I became a human being, for this, I will chastise you. Bar Benel understands this to mean, I will utterly destroy you. So that you see from these non-halachic sources that the deep instinct of medieval Jews, the immediate instinct is that Christianity is full-fledged avodah zarah. There are also acts that take up the status of Christianity as avodah zarah for granted, namely that Jews gave their lives in order not to convert. Avodah Zarah is one of the three prohibitions that require martyrdom, and Jews did that, which in itself is an indication that they took for granted that Christianity is Avodah Zarah, certainly for them. But there were pressures in the other direction for medieval Jews. And one of those, which has been famously discussed in the scholarly literature, has to do with the economic pressure I'm afraid I don't have written English translations. I am translating every single word that I'm reading, but I cannot give you a written text for that. I actually consulted Jay about this, and he said that as long as I translate, it's okay. And I've been translating every single word with that in mind.
Thank you. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Okay. So there was a. All right. Somehow I'm not working the chat well, so
Ignore the chat until the end. Just talk, and we'll leave 2 3 minutes at the end. That's it. Yeah. Thank you.
okay, fine. So there were pressures in the other direction, that is meaning to maybe think again about whether Christianity is fully avodah zarah, because if it is, it causes all kinds of serious difficulties, of which the most common one that is discussed is the prohibition at the beginning of the tractate Avodah Zarah against doing business with Gentiles, which meant pagans in the Mishnah, on their holidays. It's even before their holidays, but there's an explicit Gemara that outside of Israel, it's okay, except on the day itself. But that would mean, and there's actually explicit, apparently an explicit Gemara that says that for Christians, this would mean not doing business with them on Sunday. And since Jews didn't do business with them on Saturday, it would mean that they would be significantly economically handicapped. And so we have various efforts by medieval Jewish authorities to find arguments for permitting this. There is a Tosafot at the very beginning of Tractate Avodah Zarah that says that we do this, and why do we do this? Well, one possibility is that we do it mishum eva, which means because of hatred or hostility. And what that means, and it means that in many other passages in the Talmud and in Talmudic discussion, that you are concerned that a particular action will cause non-Jews to hate Jews, to hate you. And in certain contexts, that is enough of a reason to permit something that might otherwise be forbidden. So Tosfot suggests that this might be the reason here, and they bring proof that it would work here, though they ultimately reject this as the main reason. Just in case you think that any time you see a book published by a distinguished university press, you have to assume that the author knows what he's talking about. I was once asked to read a book, not as a referee. They had already accepted the book, but they somehow or other someone told them someone else should read it. So they asked me if I would do it. This is a major university press, And I said, I don't, they asked me to read the whole book by a certain deadline. I said I'd read as much as I could by the deadline. I did. I sent back comments. And then I got the book. And a few pages after I had stopped reading, I see that the author writes the following. The Tosafists say that we can do business with non-Jews on their, with Christians on their holidays, because of eva, hatred. One must exploit the hated Gentile. In other words, he took the phrase because of hatred, which means because you might cause them to hate Jews, and turned it into the mitzvah of expressing your hatred for Gentiles by exploiting them in business. And if you didn't do business with them on Sunday, there would be a whole day when you wouldn't have exploited Christians. I was alone in an apartment in Israel at the time, and I just screamed at the top of my lungs. So we have I wrote him or whatever. It was corrected in the second edition. But in any case, that was Tosfos' first suggestion that we might be allowed to do business with them on their holidays because otherwise they would hate us and persecute us and whatever. Tosfos also cites a cryptic statement in the Talmud in Chulin 13 that says that the Gentiles outside of the land of Israel don't worship Avodah Zarah, rather they follow the customs of their ancestors. What that means is far from clear, but in any case, it's not a statement about the Christian religion. The religion doesn't change because you go out of Israel to outside of, to Chutz La'aretz. Rather, it's a statement about the worshippers, that they don't quite grasp what they are doing. And there is a later statement in that same Tosafot that we know that the nations among us don't worship Avodah Zarah. But it's quite clear that this doesn't mean the religion is not Avodah Zarah. It means that they are not sufficiently committed that intense in their faith or in their behavior. That if they do a business deal with Jews on their holiday, they're going to go thank their God, which was the reason for the prohibition in the first place. So what we have here are efforts to undo this prohibition, but without reassessing the Christian religion itself, rather reassessing the intensity with which Christians actually believe in or observe that religion. So far, we have not found any indication that medieval Jews thought that Christianity might not be Avodah Zarah for non-Jews. But there is a very important text, which I put on a screen, but I'm not going to show it to you because of time. I put it in Hebrew, I'd have to translate the whole thing. Tosafot deals with a prohibition against engaging in a business partnership with a Gentile, which in the time of the Talmud meant a pagan, lest you have a business disagreement and the Gentile will have to take an oath that he doesn't owe you money. And you will have caused him to take an oath in the name of his God. And this is prohibited because there's a verse that says you should not mention the name of another God. It should not be heard through your mouth. Lo yishama al picho, which the rabbis take to mean you should not cause it to be articulated in an oath. Here, Tosafot says that this does not apply to Christians. In the case of Christians, you can have a partnership and you can even accept the oath. How can you do that if this is Avodah Zarah? He will be swearing in the name of another god. And so Tosafot replies that A, Christians swear in the name of their saints, whom they don't consider God. Two, even though they mention God's name and the saints together, when they say God, they don't say the name Jesus, so you're not causing him to take the name of a foreign God, and they also have in mind the creator of heaven, or of heaven and earth. In other words, Christianity is different from ancient paganism, even though they believe that Jesus is God, because they also have in mind the true God. And then Tosfot goes on to say, but they're still associating, when they take that oath, they're associating God's name in their mind with Jesus. And the answer there is, there's no special prohibition to cause that. And most important, they say, but you're still causing a sin, which you're not allowed to cause another person to sin, even a non-Jew. And they say this doesn't apply because non-Jews were not commanded regarding association. And the question is, what does that mean? And on this, there was a fundamental disagreement among great rabbis for hundreds of years up to today. Does it mean that non-Jews are not forbidden to worship, to associate God with something else in worship, which would mean that non-Jews can worship Jesus of Nazareth without violating anything of their law? Or does it mean that non-Jews are not forbidden to take an oath having in mind something else in addition to God? If that's what it means, then it's still forbidden for non-Jews to worship God along with something else. And on this, as I said, there has been a monumental disagreement for hundreds of years to our day. Some of the greatest early modern Jewish authorities, including the Ramah and the Shach, took what I would call the liberal position. Non-Jews may worship God along with something else, which means that Christian worship is not Avodah Zarah for them. It remains Avodah Zarah for us, but not for them. While others took a very strong position that this is not true, and that it's forbidden for non-Jews also, and hence Christianity is Avodah Zarah even for non-Jews. Now, at this point, I have to back up and mention a person whose name always comes up in this context, and for good reason, and that is Rabbi Nachum HaMeiri, who lived in the late 13th, early 14th century in southern France, and who took the position, he invented a category called nations that are bound by the ways of religions. And he said that any discriminatory laws in the Talmud that deal with non-Jews don't apply to nations that are bound by the ways of religion. And this includes explicitly Christians and Muslims. He also says, and the question, well, he also says pretty clearly that Christian belief, while it's very misguided, is not avodat elilim. It's not the worship of foreign gods. He doesn't explicitly make a distinction for born Jews and born Gentiles. This is the most radically liberal position about Christianity that one finds in a classical Jewish text. Now, the Meiri's position was generally, well, it wasn't, not everybody knew it, but the basic position was known, because even though people didn't study the Meiri's commentary much before the recent centuries, this position was quoted in the Shita Mekubetzet, which is a book that was widely studied. Still, we do not find a people of stature who adopt the position that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah at all, period. Presumably that would refer even to Jewish worshippers. But there are many who endorse, especially in recent, last century or so, the position that discriminatory laws don't apply to them because they are civilized, decent people, which is a very important development. Moreover, we find formulations about Christians in the early modern period that are really very positive. They're not frequent, but there's an oft-quoted comment in a work called Be'er HaGolah on the Shulchan Aruch, where he says that Christians believe in the Creator and they believe in the Exodus from Egypt and many of the laws that discriminate against non-Jews don't apply to them. Now, Rav Herzog, when dealing with the vexed question of whether in a theoretical ideal world Christianity would not be permitted in the land of Israel, there was no way that there could be a modern state of Israel that would not allow churches. And he suggested something very significant, namely that the prohibition against having Avodah Zarah in the land of Israel applies to ancient pagans who were immoral people, but does not apply to people who have a set of who have a moral code, and therefore would not apply to Christianity. He doesn't say this with certainty, but he proposes this as a possibility. I once, in discussing these issues, wrote that I thought that the best way to characterize Christianity, if you do think it's prohibited for non-Jews, which I think is what Tosfot meant, is that it is non-pagan Avodah Zarah in a monotheistic mode. Someone who read this said, in other words, you think that Christianity is Avodah Zarah light. And I said that I would accept this formulation. There is a story even that was told by the late Rabbi Wurzberger that when Rav Soloveitchik was in the hospital, there was a doctor treating him who told him that he was sort of losing his faith and he was a Christian. And the Rav tried to persuade him not to abandon his faith, even though Rav Herschel Schechter testifies that the Rav agreed that Christianity was Avodah Zarah even for non-Jews. So if both of these are true, and they are both said in the name of very reliable people, it would mean that the Rav held some such position, that Christianity is technically Avodah Zarah, but of a different kind, which is better than atheism. And so in very recent days, we have had two orthodox rabbinic statements about Christianity with which I would like to end, and that is one by an extremely liberal orthodox group of rabbis who wrote, and I will put this up on the screen. We acknowledge that the emergence of Christianity in human history is neither an accident nor an error, but the willed divine outcome and gift to the nations. I can't discuss what I think is not quite right about this, but it's a very striking indication of this different, more positive attitude that you find now. And finally, this last statement, which put out by mainstream Orthodox groups, the Rabbinical Council of America, the European Council of Rabbis, and the Chief Rabbin of Israel, says that we acknowledge that the fraternity that's developed between Christians and Jews cannot sweep away our doctrinal differences. It does rather reinforce genuine, mutual, positive dispositions toward fundamental values that we share, including but not limited to reverence for the Hebrew Bible. There's then a discussion of the doctrinal differences, and it ends, doctrinal differences do not and may not stand in the way of our peaceful collaboration for the betterment of our shared world and the lives of the children of Noah. So that you do have, in the most mainstream modern Orthodox circles at least, a serious effort to undo this legacy of the past without necessarily undermining even the belief or the position that a Christian theology is forbidden even to non-Jews. Okay.
All right. Any questions? Thank you. Right. You want to say anything else, Dr. Berger, or to take any questions if anybody has?
I put one on the chat box. How does a Herzog's statement differ from Meiri? Meiri's comment.
Because Rav Herzog is assuming that it is Avodah Zarah for non-Jews. But it's a different kind of Avodah Zarah. And indeed, I think it does reflect the Meiri's position about the nations that are bound by the religion. But it does not reflect the Meiri's apparent view that it isn't Avodah Zarah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
And hello.
Okay, anybody else have any questions? I mean, would you agree, Dr. Berger, that the Maisa, everybody follows the Meiri in actual practice, like in what we do with our lives? Like, I don't think, or maybe if you want to call me, you know, when Jonathan Sachs was in Toronto, so he mentioned that when he got invited to go to, by the Queen, to go to church, he would go into a church, you know, but when he got invited by the Prime Minister of England, he wouldn't go. I don't know if you want to comment. I just found that a very interesting phenomenon. He said for Shalom Malchut, he'll go into a church. The Queen was Shalom Malchut, but not the Prime Minister.
Okay. Well, you know, that's more complicated than another reason. And that is that going into a church, according to most poskim, is forbidden because it's Avodah Zarah for Jews. In other words, that doesn't determine your position about whether it's Avodah Zarah for non-Jews. You could say it's not, but you're still not allowed to go in because it is for you. And the distinction between, you know, special cases and not special cases depends in part on why it's forbidden. Is it rabbinic? Is it Marisayan? You know, and in fact, there were major rabbinic figures, certainly in England, who did that in such circumstances. There was a whole, you know, uproar about this. Uproar. There was a whole brouhaha when Rabbi Haskell Lukstein spoke at Obama's inaugural event in the main church in Washington, D.C. And so this, you know, came to the fore as a matter of discussion.
Okay. Thank you very much. A pleasure. And Dr. Simkowitz, I believe you're here. You must be. I just made you co-host. So you can say hello, and we'll get started in about 72 seconds or so. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. And okay. Heading to the home stretch a little bit. But lots to discuss. Lots to discuss.